Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Here's what I'll say to start the show. I'm going to put the Connor Hellebuyck, Devon Levi conversation officially to rest because we're playing that one to death, apparently.
Yeah. Feathers ruffled, eh? I find it amazing that there's so many, like, I mean, angry people. Listen. We are hypothetically giving you something, and we're hypothetically saying that would you trade Devon Levi for a Connor Hellebuyck?
And I'm not hypothetically saying anything. I'm telling you what I would do to build the team my way. I can do that if I want. But you want to throw out hypothetical trades? Go for it. I'm telling you right now that I would trade Devon Levi for Connor Hellebuyck. I would. Sorry.
In a heartbeat.
Sorry. It's over.
But why are people valuing Devon Levi as literally some elite goaltender in the NHL? Like, people are looking at this young guy. He hasn't gone through any adversity. He hasn't dealt with any injuries. He hasn't dealt with anything. He's just played really well at some junior levels, and he was an incredible player.
I have an autographed Marty Brodeur stick, literally sitting 5 feet away from me. Okay, and I feel like if I had a Devon Levi stick, I don't know which one would be more valuable right now.
I'm telling you, in Saberland, it's crazy.
Oh my God, I could walk around with an autographed Brodeur stick without question. One of the top three goalies of all time, top three, however you want to spin it. And then if I walked around with a Levi stick, I bet you people would grab the Levi stick and run with it. Which, by the way, Devon Levi, if you're listening, good for you. You've created quite a buzz, and you're a hell of a goalie. But Connor Hellebuyck is
power of the media, right?
Established himself as a star goalie in this league right now.
Power of the media. And I'm not saying that Devon Levi is not going to become or can become a great goaltender in the NHL. But what we're talking about right now is a position on the Sabres team currently right now that if you had a bona fide true stud, and Connor Hellebuyck has stud written all over him. He's a top goaltender in the league. Not only now, not only the last number of years, but he's going to be a stud in this league for many years, another 5+ years. Okay. He is going to be in a top position. Devon Levi, we still do not know what we're getting in Devon Levi. I hate to say it, people, but everybody's ordering the rings already with this kid, and you just need to take a deep breath, and there's going to be some ups and downs and all arounds with a young, youthful goaltender in this league. That's just the way it is.
He's going to get shelled at some point. Didn't he already get shelled? He got shelled against... They ended up winning the game, but he got shelled. I think it was against Detroit.
Holy shit, he lost against friggin' Norway in the World Championships. I don't know if we want to talk about that, but he lost to Norway in a shootout, by the way. When we sit here and talk about trying to get better as a hockey team, when you have the opportunity to get Connor Hellebuck, then I'm going to tell you right now, you do everything in your bloody power. We're just throwing things out there. Someone online, I can't remember the name, I think, Twitter name, Aaron or something like that, said, would you do this, Connor Hellebuck, for Quinn and a second round draft pick?
I saw that, and my answer was no.
My answer is no. I wouldn't be making that move for Connor
Hellebuck. I'm not trading Jack Quinn. Do you have something else in mind?
Here's the thing. People might be sitting there saying, well, why would you trade Devin Levi then? Well, Devin Levi is a goaltender. Devin Levi, if you trade him for Connor Hellebuck, Connor Hellebuck's your true number one that's going to play 65 games for the Buffalo Sabres. 65. The other 22 or whatever, 17. The other 17 games, they're going to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Okay? That's just the way it is. Now you've got an unbelievable goaltending tandem for the next number of years here in Buffalo. We don't need Devin Levi if you have Connor Hellebuck. That's all I'm trying to say, people. Okay? I'm trying to make the team better, and that would significantly make our team better. I read something from somebody online that they're saying, why do we need to train for Connor Hellebuck? We've got Devin Levi and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and they can do what Connor Hellebuck does. Well, let me have some of that weed that you're smoking, bud, because that ain't true at all. Okay. That being said, we'll see what plays out. Just fun stuff.
You know what it is? It's just continued like rollover from the soundbite that we posted last week about, you know, the Hellebuck thing, and people just might hear it randomly 5 days later and they'll fire a response because goaltending is a sensitive subject. I mean, everybody here seems to think that they've found the answer. Now, yesterday in the show, I said, Matt Savoy is in Rochester, and I said he's here to observe and absorb. right?
Yeah. And how did that go over with our people that love to listen?
So Lou Brown, and listen, ladies and gentlemen,
Lou Brown is one of the greatest.
I don't know who Lou Brown is. I've never met Lou Brown. I would love to meet Lou Brown. Lou Brown is obviously an alias, and Lou Brown was the manager of the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League. So he responds and he says, observe and absorb would be a good name for a strip joint.
Oh man.
Anyway, it might have contradicted my point, maybe not yours so much, maybe mine, but I don't really remember how the conversation went because at the time we didn't have any information about what Matt Savoy's role would be in Rochester. But shortly after we posted the show, Seth Appert listened to the show and he decided to address some of our questions. And he said in the media that Savoy is there to play, right? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it sounds like he's going to let him get acclimated and see how he looks and then maybe throw him in a game or two or more.
Yeah. Listen, I mean,
is that what it sounds like to you?
Yeah. And I think that's fair. I think, like I said yesterday, you talked about kind of like he's there to watch and observe and take it all in. We never once said that he will not play. What I had said,
and never once said that he shouldn't play,
and shouldn't play. What I had said was Seth Affert, Mike Pekka, are going to watch Matt Savoy. They're going to watch him, you know, skate with the team, get acclimated, feel comfortable around them. They're in the conference finals, okay? They're playing the big boy hockey right now. And if they feel that Matt Savoy can be inserted into this lineup and this young man will help this team win games, he's going in. He's going in. But what I did say was this. I did say that Kevin Adams, the GM of the Buffalo Sabres, that's going to be down there watching every single one of these games. Kevin Adams isn't walking into the locker room or the office of Seth Appert and basically saying, listen, you're going to play Matt Savoy. You're going to play him. No, I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that Seth Appert is going to make the decision. And if they call up Matt Savoy from the Western Hockey League, okay, once the season is finished, I believe that if they feel that he can make this team better, then he is going to play.
Can I say something about Seth Appert, Mike Pekka, and Mike Weber?
Yep.
Much like being a player, you know, like some of these players in Rochester, I mean, like not the obvious ones, but some of the other guys that are in the lineup are probably feeling a little uneasy that Savoy's there. Right. So they'll probably play a little harder. You know what I mean? Or not that they won't play hard anyway, but it'll make them a little bit uneasy because they all want to keep their spot in the lineup. But knowing you've got a young stud like that just waiting in the weeds, you know, might help elevate everyone's game up front.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. If that's human nature for the players, do you have any reason to feel like Don Granato and the other coaching staff in Buffalo might be feeling a little pressure going into next season to have a little more success because of the success that Seth Appert and Mike Pekka and Mike Weber are having with a team like they have in Rochester? That's a pretty damn good coaching staff.
Yeah.
NHL coaching staff in the minors.
True. And when you think about it, it's actually very impressive what they've done. And I will say this, like, you know, a lot of these teams, after a season is finished, you send down your young players. Okay. So you have the ability in Buffalo to send down JJ Paterka. Okay. Who played 1 year in the NHL. You have the ability to send down a Peyton Krebs. You have the ability to send down Jack Quinn. You have the ability to send down Owen Power. These are players that you want to make sure that they have the ability to continue to improve and learn how to play in the playoffs, right? They could have done that. But Jack Quinn, Peyton Krebs, they both went to the World Championships, which I think is great. And Owen Power decided to kind of take he had a long full year and he decided to kind of shut her down and kind of heal the brain more than anything. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, the Rochester coaching staff did not get that influx of NHL talent to the roster. They have their own roster. They have a minor league roster with some really young players that are playing very well. They have some older guys.
Pretty much worked with all year long.
That they work with all
year
long.
It's not like this team has been up and down like yo-yos and trying different guys. Sorry to interject, but I think that's important too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they've just done an incredible job. There's no player that's bigger than life or larger
than life on this team in the minors. Don Granato, is he looking over his shoulder? And
there's pressure. I think Don Granato is going to feel the pressure. I'm going to tell you, I said this all year. I think Don Granato and his coaching staff have done an insanely good job building a very broken environment, an environment that was so badly torn apart that they had to build it right from scratch. Don Granato did that. He had wounded players. Like, I mean, wounded players from the coaches from years previous. And he built these players up. He built up their mojo. And now these young men are playing at a high level. And I think Don Granato has built an environment where, number one, nobody team here in Buffalo that they only want to play in Buffalo. Do you understand? They love Buffalo. I think Don Granato's done an unbelievable job the last couple years, but he is now at a position where it's not just still about development, still about that because the team's so young, but it's not just about development anymore. It's about winning hockey games. And winning hockey games have now, for the first time in a long time, become the focus. So if Don Granato cannot get these guys to win hockey games, then he should be looking over his shoulder. Because it's not about not making the playoffs anymore. For the very first time next year, this team will be in a situation that the standard is to make the playoffs. And anything under that is a failure.
Yeah, isn't the well? And they have neglected to say that.
I mean, they don't want to say it because don't want pressure on themselves. Kevin Adams doesn't want pressure on themselves. You know, Don Granato and the coaching staff doesn't want pressure. But everybody in this entire environment, I don't care where you are as a Sabres fan. Everybody understands, and it doesn't even need to be said. It doesn't need to be said out loud. The standard for this team next year that missed the playoffs by 1 year, one point. The standard next year is going to be 100 points, and it's going to be the playoffs. And anything under that, listen, I understand that there's going to be injuries. I understand that. But guess what? Good teams make the playoffs. They get by the injury bug. There's no excuses, okay?
So, you know, it's interesting, too, like as you say that, our feed fills up with thoughts of, you know, with the Panthers now up 3-0 in the playoffs. They're like, oh, this could have been the Sabres. And I'm just like, no, this would never have been the Sabres just because they missed out by 1 point and Florida got them. I mean, someone even sent us a picture of Alex Tuck offside against the Florida Panthers. Remember that goal that was called back? Like they went all the way back, found that goal, screenshotted the play, and then sent it. And they're like, here's the difference. We'd be in the conference final. I'm thinking, no, that's not how it works.
Nope.
Florida Panthers were a President's Trophy team. And then on top of last year, they were. And then on top of it, we don't have players like they do. See Ryan Lomberg last night?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yep. Like if anybody out there, you know, wants to say that you don't want physical players, look no further than Ryan fucking Lomberg.
Yeah.
By the way, Brooks Koepka was at the game last night wearing a Lomberg jersey, and that made me fall in love with Brooks Koepka again. I mean, that's just how easy I am back and forth on such an asshole like Brooks Koepka. But I care less that he won the PGA.
Why do you like Lomberg so much? Tell me why.
Well, first and foremost,
what does he bring to the Florida Panthers?
Number one, he's a Bartlett hockey guy. So I mean, you know,
is he? All
right. Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. Remember, he was on our show.
Yep. Yep.
Came on our old show. I love his long shot story. If you go back and read his story, he's got a phenomenal story about how he ended up making it to the NHL. Phenomenal story about his parents following him around, you know, when he first got called up going game to game, but then just inserting himself in the lineup and making a difference, finding a way to be a difference maker on a team. I mean, he's not the most skilled guy. He can fly. He's physical. He's so driven. He's passionate. He wants to win. And I think he loves his role. And I just love this player. I love this type of
12 goals this year he had. 12 goals playing on the fourth line.
If you would ask
12
me,
goals, 20 points, and 88 penalty minutes, he is a fire plug.
He had 12 goals.
Did you see last night?
I had no idea.
When there was Matthew Tkachuk was verbally jousting by the benches, and Tkachuk steps onto the bench, and right away, Lomberg is up, and he is barking at the Carolina bench, taking away the limelight, which is from Matthew Tkachuk, because Matthew Tkachuk's got to play. He can only do so much verbal jousting. Then he's got to take a deep breath, relax, and right away, Lomberg is all over the Carolina bench. Name me one time this entire season that you saw someone do that for the Sabres.
Well, and the difference is, though, well, Jeff Skinner.
That's true. Skinsy, I mean, yeah, okay. Skinsy, we'll give it to him. He's got a mouth on him.
The only difference is one's a Chihuahua and one's a pit bull. And
yeah, okay.
That's the difference.
You had to just go there and chop his legs off. Leave Skinner. Like, listen, I mean, when Jeff Skinner is playing his best hockey is when he's the biggest D-bag of all time. He's just a piece of shit on the ice. He's irritating guys. Guys want to kill Jeff Skinner. That's when he's playing his best.
All right. Sorry for chopping his legs off. But the fact of the matter is that when Ryan Lomberg stands up and starts, you know, yelling at the Carolina Hurricanes bench, they actually take him seriously. How's that?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's true. Ryan Lomberg will fight anybody in the league. Not only fighting is just, it's so irrelevant right now, but there's a big difference
that's the edge of this.
It's the edge and that he will fight. It's not that you have to fight. It's there's players that actually will fight and will drop the gloves. And that makes half this league terrified.
Why say something to anybody if you think there's a chance they're going to react? Don't. And that's the kind of guy you need. That's why I love Ron.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ryan Lomberg.
Yeah.
And he only makes 800 grand. 800 grand, 12 goals. I didn't know he had 12 goals. If you had asked me how many goals he had, I would have said 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Right. I know he can get, 6, 7, 8 goals like a Delorier can, but he's more effective, I think, than a Delorier, to be quite honest with you. I love Delorier. I love Delorier. But as an all-around player, I think a guy like Lomberg is a more effective player.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question.
He's making $800,000.
Jack Quinn
should be making $1.5 million.
Peyton Krebs. Jack Quinn, Peyton Krebs, Paterka, Cousins, all just kids. They're all under the age of 22. They're already in the lineup. How many of Kulik, Oslin, Savoy, Isaac Rosen, Brett Murray, Lucas Rusick, Sean Malone? How many are there? Any of these players have an opportunity to crack the lineup next year?
Sean Malone.
Do you just find that there are so many players in the Sabres lineup /organization right now? I mean, there's some teams that are bleeding right now because they don't have any draft picks, like none, like the Toronto Maple Leafs for the next 3 years. They've traded away all their prospects. They have no draft picks. And we're sitting here right now with all of our draft picks, all of our first round picks in the next 3 years. And then you have this massive influx of young players that can play in this league. Where is Kulich, Austin, Savoy, Isaac Rosen? These are the last four first round draft picks in the last 2 years. But where does Brett Murray, who had a very, very good season in the minors, where does Lucas Rusick fit? I think he was the leading point producer, if I'm not mistaken, for Rochester this year. Sean Malone, if you want a third line center that can actually kill penalties, or a fourth line center that can actually kill penalties, he has played insanely well. He's 28 years old.
Sean Malone's, I'm surprised he hasn't had more of an opportunity in the NHL, to be honest with you. I really am. I mean,
you're looking for a player with a specific skill set, he is an incredible penalty killer.
If you were to say to me right now, we're going to keep Sean Malone next year as the fourth line centerman on the Buffalo Sabres and pay him $750,000 a year.
Yes.
And we just had a fourth liner that made 2.2. I'm saying sign me up. Sign me up. Sean Malone can kill penalties. Sean Malone is a defensive type player. He's not big, but he has heart and he can play the game. He's a smart player. He has to be smart. He went to fucking Harvard. You know what I mean?
Habit. Wouldn't he be a guy that you would think might have put himself in a position to win a job for next year?
One benefit he has is the fact that he is going to be, and I don't think he would be offended to hear this, but he would be very cheap labor for the team.
Well, you're going to pay him minimum. You're going to pay him $750. But he's not getting a dime over $750.
Well, is the league minimum $700? Because he's going to get $700. I think I said
$800. Let's just say he gets $750 on a one-way deal. He's not on a one-way deal right now. He has a minor league salary, and he has an NHL salary. He never got called up to the NHL. He just played in the minors.
So where are you going with this? Because we were talking about Lomberg, and now we're...
Because there needs to be some change in the Buffalo lineup.
Well, you need a fourth line with an identity.
It's not even fourth line, PD. I'm talking about there is so many players right now currently. Where are they all going to fit? If I were to tell you right now that we could trade J.J. Paterka and a second-round draft pick for Connor Hellebuck, and then I don't even know if this is even so ludicrous or if it's even in the ballpark, but... would you do it?
Yes. I won't trade Quinn in a second, but I'll trade Paterka in a second.
All right.
I don't know why. I do. I mean,
I think you'd have to trade even more than that.
Okay, but Quinn's going to be a goal scorer. I think we can see that potential in him.
I know, but I mean, you say Quinn's going to be a goal scorer, but J.J. Paterka, his point totals were very similar to Quinn, and he's a year younger. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you look at Quinn this year, had 14 goals and 37 points. J.J. Paterka had 12 goals and 32 points. And he's a year younger. I mean, where is Jari Kulich going to fit in? Where is Matt Savoy going to fit in to this lineup? We haven't even talked about the 16th overall pick. We haven't talked about Isaac
thing,
Rosen.
Craig, here's the thing. Here's in my opinion here. They shouldn't. If all these players are still a part of this organization next summer, then I think there's been a complete missed opportunity. But then again, I mean, it's not easy to make trades. It's not easy to convince free agents to come to a team that's missed the playoffs for 12 years and a small market team. That this it's easy to draw free agents here when the team is good. And the team is just not good enough yet. They're getting good, and everyone's looking at them from the outside saying, okay, they're drawing a lot of attention and they're catching some eyes, but they haven't gained any respect, or they've gained respect, but they haven't earned all the respect. They're not a playoff team.
There was respect gained by first and foremost, Tage Thompson blowing things out of the water for the very first time in a very, very long time for a Buffalo Sabres.
Put this team on the map.
Put this team on the map. 47 goals, 94 points. Tage Thompson is an elite player in this game, the way he played last year. And he put that logo, that Buffalo Sabres logo, on the map. That being said, this team's a pretty damn good hockey team. This team is a playoff hockey team with a couple minor tweaks for next year. One has to be a goaltender. And if you think that, I don't know how good Devon Levi is going to be. I don't know if he could be a top 15 goaltender in the NHL. I don't know. There's 32 teams in the league, and each team has kind of like a number one. Some teams don't have a number one. They have two goaltenders that split 50-50 in games. Okay. Devon Levi, where does he fit in amongst all the elite goaltenders in the game today? I can tell you this. He may never, and I say never, get to the level of Connor Hellebuck. Okay? Connor Hellebuck is a true stud. All I'm trying to say is, what are you supposed to do with all of these players? Like, the reason why
Sabres have sucked. Make your team better, man.
Listen, the reason why Sabres have sucked for 10 years is to be in this situation right now. Because not only do you have the youngest team in the league with an insane amount of studs, you also have an entire group of first-round draft picks, Kulich, Ostlund, Savoy, Rosen. You have Lucas Rusick that was the top point producer in the minors. You have Brett Murray, who's, 6'5", 235 pounds. He can actually add offense. He's actually a player. He had 50 points this year, Petey. 50 yeah. points. But he's also can punch the lights out of guys. Like, there has to be a time when Kevin Adams and his management group say, we need to make this team better. And what is that? Where are they going to make this team better? Because they have a ton of draft picks, and they have a ton of picks that they've already picked, and it's so deep right now. So to sit there and say, you could go and trade JJ Paterka, who could be an incredible hockey player and will be an incredible hockey player, and a second rounder and a third rounder. For maybe a defenseman, for maybe a goaltender, who knows? But this team needs to get better, because they're at the point right now where they have so much in the pipeline, they're not all going to be able to play.
All right, I'm going to transition to a defenseman conversation, but I'm going to do it by throwing out a fantasy trade. If somehow the Sabres were to do a deal with Winnipeg, for whatever reason, because it always seems like the Sabres and Winnipeg are talking every time there's a trade rumor. Even before Kevin came here, it was always Winnipeg this and always for Risto. I remember they were in on, remember Risto and all that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go and get a guy from Winnipeg, and you say what you want. I don't really care. But if I'm going to go get a third pair defenseman, I'm going to get Brendan Dillon from the Winnipeg Jets. I think people need to understand what the reason is for that. I think, actually, you know what? I kind of feel like everyone's starting to come around a little bit. I think they're starting to see that the Sabres are not physical. And you see how teams like Florida are winning their series in Vegas and how they're getting things done. It's not through skill and toe drags and, you know, breakaways and
he's on a 1 year deal. Okay. He's on a 1 year deal. I think he makes 3.9. Help me out there.
He makes 3.9.
Okay. 3.9. The guy's 6'4". He's 225 pounds. He will fight anybody in the league. Anybody. He is a defender first. That's it. He is a puck-moving, defending, physical, nasty defenseman.
Still get you 20 points.
6'4", 225. What do you have?
He had 23 points this year.
What?
I know. He had 20 last year. He had 19 the year before in 56 games.
No
he
way.
He had 22 a few years ago. He had 22 the year before that.
Okay, I did not see that coming at all.
He's a 2-3 goal guy a year, but he's going to get you 17 to 20 assists.
He is not out there. He is not out there to score goals. He is not out there to produce points. He is out there to move the puck up the ice. He's out there to be insanely physical. He's out there to keep guys honest in front of his net, in front of his goaltender. Okay, he is that player. He's going to add an element to this team physically, nastiness-wise. He will fight. He would be a great addition. He's big. He's physical. He's nasty. And it's what the Sabres need. They need guys like this. He's going to play 15, 17 minutes a night. Because you're going to have Owen Power and you're going to have Rasmus Dahlin that are going to eat minutes next year like crazy. Because they're just thoroughbred horses that can just skate forever. That's just the way it is. Your third pair defenseman should be a guy that guys know when he's on the ice. If things get nasty, if teams start to take liberties on Rasmus Dahlin or one of these younger players on the forward line, you need to have players that are there. You need to have players that actually make your softer players on your team that may not be that type of player, make them a little stronger, a little tougher, knowing that they, you know, you have their back. You'd be a nice addition. Brendan Dillon's on a one-year deal. One-year deal. I think it would be a great addition for the Sabres.
Transferring to another defenseman, left-hand shot defenseman. Something I think we were expecting it. I think we already know who's going to win it. But the Calder Trophy nominees came out, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago a bit, and Owen Power's on it. And
not surprised. Not
surprised at all. I don't expect him to win. No offense. He had a great rookie season, but
I think Matty Beniers has locked that up in his back pocket, right? Yeah.
And that's okay. But does him being on the Calder ballot do anything for his contract extension negotiation this offseason? Or is that already? Does the number not change?
I don't think the number changes. I think that, Matty Beniers this year, at the age of 20, the same age as Owen Power.
Well, they played
had a really nice together. Year. Yeah, really nice year. 24 goals, 57 points in this league is pretty damn impressive. Owen Power in himself, 35 points this year. Logged a ton of minutes, the most minutes for any rookie. At times, Owen Power to me is something. He's a special. He really is a special hockey player. I don't think that we're not even close to where this kid's going to be. I think that his upside is completely through the roof, and it's going to come by just understanding the league a little bit more. It's going to come with his maturity. It's not really going to come. He's not going to get bigger. He's not going to get faster. Okay. He's 20 years old. He's 6 foot six. He's 220 pounds. But for a man that size, his skating, the fluidity of how he moves the pucks, his skill level is completely off the chart. I have not seen a defenseman like him that skates like him, because I think like people are going to be like, well, what about Victor Hedman? Yes, Victor Hedman is that style, but I think Owen Power is even more skilled with the puck than Victor Hedman is. I think that Owen Power, his game in the next 2, 3, 4 years, oh my Lord, is he going to be good?
So why
he's going to be good for a decade?
So why? Okay, let me. I don't want to make this an hour long conversation. I just want to know what is his camp going to be looking for. I don't care what the Sabres are going to want. We okay. all know that the Sabres and fans and mm-hmm. everybody are going to want him on the least amount of money as possible.
Yeah.
But tell me what his camp is looking for. What's the first offer? Then I'm hanging up because I'm going to need to process this for a day.
If you're wanting to sign Owen Power, and we're talking about Owen Power's now 21, just finished his first year in the league at 20. Owen Power next year is still on a rookie deal. He makes $925,000. He will play that out in his 21.
He'll be 21 on November 22nd.
At the age of 22, Owen Power is going to want, because I'm going to tell you this, if Owen Power, and people were laughing their heads off when I said this, you remember, this is like 4 months ago, I said Owen Power is going to score 55 points next year, possibly 60. And people were laughing their head off. People are like, you're crazy. You're crazy. Well, Owen Power in his rookie year had 35 points. Do you not think that he can, with his ability, this team's getting stronger? Owen Power is going to be stronger. He's going to be a 55, 60-point defenseman next year. And if that is the case, where his first 2 years in the league is a 35-point season and a 55-point season, Owen Power is going to want $9 million. He is going to want to be paid elite money. Now, there's a comparable to him that goes back a couple years. You have the Ottawa Senators that had a player. His name is Thomas Chabot. Big man, beautiful skater, offensive instincts. He ended up signing after 3 years, after his rookie deal. He signed an 8 for 8. What makes you think Owen Power, the number one overall pick, is going to take a dime less than 8 for 8? Like, do you think 7.5 is the right deal? So what you're saying is Aaron Ekblad. Aaron Ekblad, who was the first pick overall, like a gazillion years ago.
So tell me why his agency.
He came off his entry level deal and signed a 7.5 for 8.
So tell me why his agency wouldn't ask for a $9 million a year deal.
I just said that. I just said to you right now that they're going to be asking for 9 for 8. $9 million a year for 8 years, because Owen Power still has to play next year. We're talking again, a 6'6", 220 pounds. Why wouldn't you, or why would you?
Why wouldn't you?
I would, for me personally, if he wanted $9 million for 8 years, then I would bridge him. I would bridge Owen Powers if he wanted that much money.
Why? Is that because you don't want to pay him that much, or is it because you don't think he's earned it, or you just don't want him at that cap hit? I mean, why have him at $11 million in 4 years? Like, why not just lock him up now and get 8 years out of him at $9 million? If he's going to be a $9 million player next year, why wouldn't you just do that?
That's a great question.
Now, granted, I'm going to say this. You have to sign Darlene. Which one do you sign first? I would say you have to sign Darlene first. Because if you give Power 9 on this deal, Darlene's going to be like, fuck.
Let's just
that.
Say hypothetically.
You think
Let's
I'm going to
just
take
say
nine and
hypothetically,
a half?
Kevin Adams throws out another hat, okay? Another rabbit out of the hat. Just pulls another rabbit out of the hat, and Rasmus Dahlin is signing for 9.5 for 8. If that's the case,
a rabbit out of the hat.
That's a rabbit out of the hat, man. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, what do you think Rasmus Dahlin is going to make?
Did I say that? Like, I sounded like I was challenging you. I just meant like, okay. And that's a rabbit out of the hat. Like, $9.5 million for Dahlin is a rabbit out of the fucking hat. Like, that's
if you I think if he's you sign Rasmus Dahlin for $9.5 million. That's a rabbit out of the hat. That is an incredible deal. If you sign him for $9 million, then you should be. If he signs $9 million for 8 years, Kevin Adams should have a statue at the KeyBank. That's I'm just saying.
No, he's not taking $9 million. Darlene's going to be the highest paid player on the team.
He'll be a $10 million defenseman, as far as I'm concerned, and what you know where the numbers are and all the comparables and everything else. Rasmus Dahlin is going to make $10 million. He has
can
to.
Can a player negotiate the C in his contract kind of like as an unwritten kind of thing? Like, you don't think Dahlin says to Kevin Adams, I want to be the captain of this team?
No, my God. What? No player in the history of the game really cares about the captaincy. Like,
bullshit. Maybe you didn't. But don't tell me that players don't. Don't tell me.
Listen, I don't. You're telling me right now. You think a player would go to a GM and say, I want to be the captain?
Yeah. I'm not saying Dahlin would. I'm just saying, yes, I think it. I absolutely. You're fucked. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Only guys that could possibly say that are the ones that have the relationship with the general manager to the point where they could say that.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, like, I don't think Jack Quinn's going to the team saying, "I want to be the next captain of the Buffalo Sabres." But I think amongst the leadership group on this team, I think there are players that are probably vying for that, knowing that it's going to be available. Kyle Oposo's has an expiration date. It's in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So these long term guys, yeah, absolutely.
Do you think Tage Thompson's going in having a conversation with Kevin Adams?
I didn't
saying,
say having
I
a conversation. No, but I think deep down, I think there are players that would love to be the captain of this team.
Yeah.
I think Tage Thompson's probably one of them. Alex Tuck is definitely one of them. I think Rasmus Dahlin is one of them. I think Dylan Cousins kind of goes about it quietly, but already knows that he has those intangibles.
Yeah.
He's an outside long shot. He definitely deserves a letter. Don't think he's going to change his game if he gets one or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I think there are definitely players.
Listen, I mean, there's players that you have to understand.
For letters, for sure.
Like Jeff Skinner could be a letter. You could have Thompson could be a letter.
Jeff Skinner doesn't need a letter. Jeff Skinner needs to go out and make sure that he is maximizing every bit of his potential to justify that contract.
What about Casey Mittelstadt?
I think there are too many players that deserve a letter ahead of him, but okay. I don't think that he is not a leader. I think he has matured.
What about Matias Samuelsson, a guy who's been basically a captain his entire life in every situation, was captain for the World Junior team.
Craig,
second year.
Let me make
second
clear.
in D1 hockey, he had a letter on his jersey.
I love that from a coach that doesn't give sophomores letters. That was the going. What was the name
That's
of the
right.
coach there? It was the old guy from LA. Andy Murray.
Andy Murray. Yes.
Andy Murray.
That's
Andy
a tennis
Murray. Player for sure.
It's Andy Murray.
Is Andy Murray. Okay. I'm glad you brought him up. My point to what I'm saying is that I feel like there's a lot of potential young leaders on this team. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to give you the cliche.
So.
It's a good problem to have. But
yeah.
But and maybe it's making players act a little more in line. Maybe it's making players work a little bit harder, show up a little bit earlier, do all those little things that people notice real leaders doing.
Yeah. You know, other than Kyle Okposo as the captain of this team, where he clearly is the captain of this team, okay? Who do you think the Sabres know, like, who that next generation player
is? I think
is?
There are some obvious choices, but I think there are some dark horses. And I think Dylan Cousins is a fucking captain. I think Matias Samuelsson is a captain times 10.
What about Rasmus Dahlin?
I think Rasmus Dahlin is a captain as well. And I think this year he has proven that more than ever. Maybe it's because he's had a chance to prove that, because it's actually, he's kind of been out from underneath everyone else's shadow. Not that he hasn't had the spotlight of his own, but to maybe take a little bit more of a bigger voice and a bigger role on the team, so to speak, I guess.
Yep.
I'm not talking on the ice. I'm talking off the ice.
On the ice stuff is one thing. Like, I would have never in a million goddamn years picked Jack Eichel as a captain. Not in a million years, but he was still the best player on the ice. It was undeniable. Your captain is not your on-ice player. Your captain is your off-ice player. I'm telling you this right now. You have a leadership group that usually drives the force, okay, of your play on the ice. Your captain, I believe, is the most important piece off the ice. That's just me.
Yeah. All right.
And the way I see things. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of prospects on this Sabres roster for leadership moving forward, and only time will tell. Okay. And you and I, and unfortunately all the fans, and unfortunately the media members that see these guys every day, no one truly knows who will be that captain. Only the inner circle of that group, the GM, the coaching staff, and the players will truly understand who the next captain's going to be.
I think it's a bigger decision than we make out to be. Kyle Okposo is easy. He's the right choice.
Yep, he is.
But nobody on that team is going to say, the fuck is he the captain for? Nobody. But your next decision with a young team, I'm not saying you could be, because I would make it, but
you could piss off a lot of guys.
You could create a divide.
Yeah.
You could create
a divide. But if you truly pick the right guy, I don't think that there's going to be a divide.
That's what I'm saying.
And players in this game.
When you were picked, it completely created a divide in the team.
No, it did.
Between me and everybody else.
Yeah, right.
No, we
had a good group. We had a really good group of guys.
Listen, it's an interesting conversation, but it's one that, I mean, it's so premature, but it's not, because we're talking about the next coming years of this team. And this upcoming season is the season that's going to probably determine who will be your next captain. Because Kyle Okposo, I mean, he'll be back next year, okay, on a cap-friendly team deal.
Yep.
But after that, it's completely unknown. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch.
But going back to the conversation about Owen Power, I do have a comparable with him.
Okay.
I don't think that you can, you know, when you have a player like this that had such an awesome year as a rookie, as a 20-year-old player, I think the comparable for him, you want to get him signed for a contract. And I think his number is going to sit somewhere between $7 million a year and $8.5 million. I think he's going to be in amongst that range. And when you sit back and you look at what he's accomplished this year as a young defenseman and the minutes that he played, and then you go and look at Thomas Chabot, who was that young stud in Ottawa after his entry-level deal, They signed him to 8 for 8. And I think Owen Power is going to be right in or around that number.
The biggest question mark for
me. A lot of money to be paying for two players when you're already playing a Rasmus Dahlin, that the money that he's going to get, and then you follow it up with another player that's going to be making top end defenseman money. It's a lot of money going to two guys.
The pressure's on Dahlin. I'm sorry, but the pressure's on Dahlin to set the standard for how important winning is. I think his contract will determine. He has the right to earn as much as he wants, but or as much as he can.
Yeah.
But I think that if winning is truly important, it will show in this next contract that he signs.
Well, something you have to think about too. Rasmus Dahlin has been making some pretty good money, making $6 million a year. It's not chump change, that's for sure. He's played himself in a situation where he should be in the top 10 highest paid defensemen. When you look at the top 10 highest paid defensemen, it ranges from $9 million all the way up to 11.5, Erik Karlsson. Okay. Rasmus Dahlin will funnel into that $9 to $11.5 million range. Where he fits and what he's willing to take, that's what's going to be determined very soon. I think something you have to think about, Tage Thompson went and signed a $7.142 million deal. Tage Thompson had the ability to wait 1 year and could have literally be making $10.5 million right now. Agreed?
Probably right.
Dylan Cousins, player that scored 32 goals this year at 68 points, who's a young guy who's going to continue to get better. Dylan Cousins signed a $7.1 million deal. I would call that deal, it's mind-boggling. I'd call it like a cap-friendly deal for the team. Because the next number of years for Dylan Cousins, I think he's going to outplay the $7.1 million deal. I think Tage Thompson is going to outplay the $7.124 million deal. The question is Rasmus Dahlin going to go for bank? Or is he going to go for a really strong contract for himself, but a contract that somewhat may help this team financially out to put them in a situation in years to come to be very, very successful?
Well, it'd be nice if players had the Ray Bourque mindset. Remember the Ray Bourque mindset?
Well, Ray Bourque screwed a lot of people in this league. It's a Ray Bourque mindset, but Ray Bourque took in Boston, he undercut himself in every bloody contract. And it hurt others around the league make the proper money, the money that they should have made, because you can't make more than Ray Bourque.
Those damn morals over money, eh? Damn, you know, the value of winning and just being happy with what you're getting, and it's just not enough anymore, because everyone else around you.
The dollars that Ray Bourque's making and the dollars that these young stud defensemen now are making are completely different. And, listen, Rasmus Dahlin deserves whatever he's going to get.
I love the amount of money that players can make in pro sports. I think it's amazing. Yeah. It's an entertainment industry. Yeah. I love the growth.
Entertainment industry.
But I cannot stand the greed. Some of the puppeteers behind the curtain are the ones that hurt the game the most. But that's conversation for another day. I do want to just add something though before we get out of here. and it is a few days late, but I would like to just say to one of our loyal listeners, Ron Smith, that we are very sorry to hear about your father. Yeah. He passed away last week. Ron said that his father was an avid listener and followed us all the way from the start to now. And he mentioned that, and we're very sorry for your loss, Ron. This episode is dedicated to your father.
Thanks for listening.
That's a wrap on another episode of After the Whistle. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, After the Whistle, and at Craig Reve 52, at The Instigator 76. And you can find us, as you already know, on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and anywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to spread the word.